the charity of the week.
Our charity this week is Manx Wild Bird Aid. We're chatting with Melanie Beattie about it. I mean, we've been hearing a bit about what you all do. You've got some fabulous volunteers all around the island, Mel. I suppose the first question I would like to ask is, what is the most sort of common call that you get when members of the public do call and say, can you help with this bird?
Most common, I would say, there's probably a couple. Window strikes is a common one. So that's where a bird has flown into someone's window and might be startled and lying on the ground. Cats tend to be another sticky issue for us, you know, especially with the smaller birds where a cat may have got them. And then, believe it or not, birds of prey, you know, going after other birds such as pigeons, etc. And we do get a lot of calls for just generally unwell birds. You know, people spot that a bird's not flying off or it's sat on the ground and that it just doesn't seem right as another common call, I would say.
And you, there's been some fascinating birds that you've actually been called out to help, haven't there?
Yes, yes. I mean, I'll laugh as I say this. Two of our main volunteers, Bill and Jane, I think they could probably write a book between them as to what they have been out to, and even the rescues that are involved with some of these birds. But, you know, on the island, we've got over 330 species of birds, and that, you know, ranges from your common garden birds, birds of prey, waterfowl, seabirds. You know, I think the landscape we live within is it gives us the opportunity to see that spectrum of different birds. I mean, you know, this week we had a bird of prey, a sparrowhawk, that, you know, needed some extra care, and Barbara actually took that one in and nursed it back to full health, and it was released this week. So, you know, it's those stories we absolutely love, and being able to see rare birds up close as well and help them get back out into the wild is phenomenal.
Incredible, isn't it, to be that close to just this really special part of nature. Well, I suppose then let's come to your volunteers. I'm guessing the volunteers have to have some sort of training to be able to do what they do.
Absolutely. I would say our transport volunteers, you know, that's maybe a little bit simpler. The training for that is how to pick up a bird, how to handle a bird, sometimes how to net a bird. You know, birds can be pretty swift, you know, when you're trying to get hold of them if they're well enough. So yeah, the training for that is, you know, how to handle them, how to get them, and how to get them in a carrier safely. Rehabilitation's a big one. You know, that takes years and years of skill on how to look after a bird. I would say if anyone has knowledge, skills, you know, has done this in the past and would like to be a rehabber for us, we would love to hear from them. The volunteers we have currently have done this for many years and are specialists in bird care, I would say.
So what do you sort of tend to do most of?
Me personally, I started out life as a transport volunteer. So I saw an advert and thought, that sounds really interesting. As some may guess from my accent, I'm actually from Liverpool. So, you know, love the getting involved with the wildlife on the island and being able to see that up close. So, yeah, I started out doing that. I also do quite a bit of fundraising for the charity, just supporting with the back office administration as well, you know, that side of things. Yeah, so multiple hats, as many, many charity workers would tell you. But, yeah, absolutely love it.
And obviously you get to liaise with some other organisations on the island. I mean, you mentioned you work with veterinary practices over here, of course, but also you sometimes work with the likes of the Coast Guard as well, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, this is the lovely thing. We have an absolute community on the Isle of Man, and, you know, many of the different organisations and different charities already know each other and partner really, really well. You know, as you'll know, we have many wildlife charities, which are maybe not birds specific, but we definitely, you know, work between us if there's a case that needs looking at. I mentioned the MSPCA, they're fantastic as well. They're helping out with, especially during baby bird season, you know, the seagulls, etc. They take, you know, the larger birds from us, which is phenomenal.
And you mentioned baby bird season. I mean, it's almost upon us, isn't it?
It is fast approaching, isn't it? So our main months for the care of birds is definitely between April and August each year. You know, many of us see baby birds, you know, like we can hear them, can't you? You know, around the areas. And, you know, during that time, we have in excess of 100 birds in our care at any one time throughout those months. I would say on average, it's probably between 200 and 300 birds that we help per month. And what people may not realise is when it's the baby birds, we have a phenomenal volunteer called Rachel Impeel, and she looks after the little tiny, you know, ones that are still in a knitted nest. And those birds need feeding every 20 to 30 minutes. And, you know, as you can imagine with the volumes I've just talked about, the amount of care that goes into to helping them, you know, get fed, get bigger so that they can be released. It's definitely an undertaking.
But how do you know then, as a member of the public, when one of these babies is actually at risk? I mean, when should we be thinking about calling you?
That is a brilliant question, because during those months, we definitely get calls from members of the public. What people will notice if they follow the Facebook page, look on the website, we do put out an information sheet. MSPCA normally do the same thing each year to say what to spot, because people will often see a baby bird on the ground and automatically presume it needs help. But the reality is sometimes fledgling birds, they will stay on the ground and mum will or dad will come down and feed them on the ground. It depends on the species of bird. So we have much more information to give on that. I would say, you know, look for signs that they're unwell, or keep an eye out to see, is there an adult bird coming down to feed them? And normally the common signs to look for.
And, you know, we discovered earlier this week as well that the charity has been going for 10 years this year.
Unbelievable. I know, unbelievable. Yes. So founded in 2016. So definitely a milestone year for us. It'd be really great if we could maybe look back on the stats of how many birds we've had through the door since then. I imagine it will be many, many.
And started by a very special couple as well.
Absolutely. I mean, Barbara and David Cole are very well known, I would say. They open their home, you know, they throughout the years they've had knocks on the door with someone with a bird in their hand, and it's definitely been a labour of love for them. For anyone who knows them, they have aviaries at their own home and, you know, care for many birds themselves. So yeah, absolutely, they are one in a million, or two in a million, I should say.
Well, good on them indeed. And I suppose as well as members of the public, what can we do to sort of think about birds and be a bit more aware of them? Because I know, you know, there's things like fishing line discard, you know, cans, rubbish, that sort of thing. What sort of message would you have for us to sort of be a bit more of the bird, be more aware of the bird life on the island?
You've hit the nail on the head there. You know, some of the things that we see are fish and hooks, you know, injuries from nets being left behind. Litter is a common one as well. It's anything that, you know, could cause harm. And, you know, let's be realistic as well. Take the birds out of the equation. It's things that are polluting our environment. So, you know, it's just being responsible. If you spot something like that, removing it. If you're in an industry that maybe deals with things that could be harmful to birds, maybe be a bit more, you know, mindful about how to dispose of those. Yeah. And then as far as general members of the public, looking after birds, you know, encourage feeding where you can, especially during the colder months or the months when they might be feeding young. You know, look, the other thing I would say is look at what comes to your garden, look what comes to your area, and maybe know that species a little bit better and how you can help care for them.
And there's things like the wild bird count, which is always a really good thing, isn't it? Sort of keep an eye on sort of the species and the numbers that we've got.
Yeah, so the RSPB do that every year, and it's definitely, if people go and have a look on their website, certainly around the time of spring watch as well, many people will see that on the TV. It's just so interesting, isn't it, to actually take a moment to have a look outside, because I think sometimes the lovely thing about the RSPB is that they'll put out like a sheet of how you spot birds, and sometimes you might think a bird is one thing and it's another. Some birds are only subtly different from each other, so it's a great way to get involved and to see what there is as well. Maybe one day we could do a big bird survey on the Isle of Man. That'd be great.
Yeah,
Garden Watch,
yeah.
Isle of Man.
Do you know what? I think you've started something here, Mel. You've started something. Well, what has been the in the time that you've been involved with the charity then, what are some of those really sort of magic moments that you can remember?
The magic moments for me are definitely the release of birds that, you know, sometimes when you're a transport volunteer and you go out to a bird, especially if you're an animal lover, which I am, you know, it can be quite difficult and you're not sure if a bird's going to pull through, and it's being able to see that all the way through to, and especially the other thing I should mention, as a transport volunteer, it's not just pick up, sometimes it's release as well. So a couple of years ago, I got to go up Onken Head and release a sparrowhawk back into the wild. So that's probably a standout moment for me. I even took my dad with me because, you know, it's one of those, you know, it's not often you get to see that, is it? So that was lovely. Last year we had a chick of a heron that had fallen from a tree in Poulsen Park. And again, Barbara, she hand-reared this. And I had never seen, a baby heron up close. You know, two things I will say about this. One, no offence to the herons, but it's probably the ugliest baby bird I have ever seen.
The mother loves them, that's the important thing.
Yes, a face only a mother could love. But the rate at which that grew, I honestly couldn't. It was like a magic trick. I couldn't believe how it was literally doubling and tripling in size every other day, you know, and then seeing that released into the wild is just beautiful.
Wonderful thing to be involved with. And people listening can be involved, so they can volunteer for you. If they think this is something you want to be involved with, what do they do? How do they get in touch?
If they go onto the website, so wildbirdaid.com, there is actually a whole section dedicated to volunteering, and it does talk about the different volunteer roles. There's a form on there. The other way to get in touch is via the Facebook page. Our messenger on there is manned all day, every day, so please do get in touch that way as well. If you've got questions, you know, some people might not want to volunteer straight away, they might want to know more about it or what training's involved, etc. Please reach out to us. You know, we've got a group of lovely volunteers who'd be happy to answer any questions.
And if they don't necessarily want to volunteer, the other way they can help you is you've got an Amazon wish list, haven't you?
Yes.
That they can buy things for you.
Yes. So the Amazon wish list is more, you know, the resources that we need. So it's things from food to equipment to, you know, so basic supplies to help care for the birds. So yeah, that's another way that you can go on and basically purchase something as a gift for the charity, which would be amazing.
Or knit a nest.
Yes, knit a nest. We have in the past had many volunteers who do knit nests because, as you can imagine, when they've had quite a few baby birds in them, they become unsavoury after a while, so they do have to be disposed of. So, yeah, we're always looking for things like that because, as I say, baby bird season, we need as many as we can get our hands on.
And what a lovely idea, because it must be so warm and cosy for them.
Yeah, yeah. I want to get in there with them.
You can do that if you want. Mel, it's been a real joy catching up and finding out all about Manx Wild Bird Aid. So we urge all of you to go check out the website, check out the Facebook, even if just to see those glorious moments of the birds being released. It really does bring it warms your cockles, doesn't it?
It certainly does.
It does. All the very best for the future and happy 10th anniversary.
Thank you so much.
The Charity of the Week, brought to you by Kell Properties.